And so I hope that you take those lessons, those messages that were brought. They're on the website. They're on Facebook. If you want DVD copies, Roland can get you DVD copies of those. So they're good assets to add to your library of things to study and be reminded of. But it was certainly a good and great week that we had. However, we need not to stop. We need to continue to push on, continue to move forward with God's word and in our life and as a church body here. Just it's grateful to look out and have everybody here with us today. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 this morning, if you want to turn there. We're going to be talking about being an ambassador for Christ. And so I know many have probably heard sermons or lessons on this text before, and there is a split opinion on professors and preachers and evangelists and commentators on, is this text actually a text for all of the church, or is it just for the apostles? Even if it was meant just for the apostles, there's excellent and good things that we can learn from it as well. And I believe that we are the church today. We are the ones that are to bring the message out to the world. And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they get that message without someone sharing that message to them? And that is the responsibility, I believe, of not just the apostles, but each and every Christian. So, as we get going on that this morning, let us take a look at our text, Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. There are those here this morning, perhaps maybe those that have been immersed into Jesus Christ, maybe those that have not, that need to be reconciled to Jesus Christ. We have had something in our life called sin that has separated us from Him and His will. And now, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. As I said, whether that is for the apostles or for every Christian today, to present that message that it is an absolute necessity if we want to get to heaven for us to be reconciled to God. And yet we are so grateful and we are so thankful, should be, that He uses us to make that happen. That we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassador. It's one of those words that we use in our words to know list at school. Ambassador means what? Speaking for the king. Speaking for the king. And that is exactly what we are to do. And in doing so, we are to present God's word in a fashion of speaking and saying what He wants for us to say. This is what we've got to remember from the get-go. As an ambassador for Christ, we are speaking for Him, we're speaking on His behalf, and we're speaking on the reconciliation, on the bringing back together, the avoiding the separation, but the reconciliation made available to man. It is comes to the world by us. Ultimately, we use the Word of God. We use the message that we see that has been prepared, but it is through us. We are His ambassadors. We're speaking on His behalf. Now, just as the apostles in their day, when they would go out, the apostles had what authority? The exact authority that Jesus gave them. And so we, as ambassadors speaking for Christ today, what authority do we have? Exactly the authority that has been given to us by Jesus Christ? Have we heard of something called the Great Commission, right? The Great Commission. That means that the Lord is going with us, but he is also making it really simple on us, and he is telling us what we need to tell others. We don't have to come up with it on our own. We don't have to read the local or the new pop psychology books that are in the bookstore to be able to tell somebody how to be saved. All we have to do is use the authority given to us, and that authority is found in the Word of God. As we said, we don't have to come up with a new plan. All we have to do is share the original one. We don't have to make it easy. We don't have to apologize. We don't have to say sorry. We don't have to do. All we need to do is present the gospel in its pure, unadulterated form. The ambassador for Christ does not come offering terms of peace. We come to publish and proclaim his message. Now, along with that, don't be misunderstood, in obedience to Christ, we will truly find peace. But I don't have to come to somebody and change what God has said to try to make them feel good about the rest of what God has said. And too many times we try to do that. Instead of just offering the straight up plan of salvation, of hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being immersed into Jesus Christ for our sins, for the forgiveness of our sins, living faithfully, we think that we have to make it and shake things up and try to smooth things over before we even get started. I'm letting you know, as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, let his word speak. Let them listen. Let them obey that, or let them reject that. It is an offer made by Christ. All we are to do is to present it to them. We represent him, and therefore we can claim nothing but the promises that he has given to us in Scripture. And that those promises, as we read in Acts chapter 2, are for you and for this generation and for all those that are afar off. Whoever so shall call on the name of the Lord. And so as we look at that, again, being an ambassador for Christ. The Bible in basic English, which we've got on the board there, will say, so we are the representatives of Christ. That's some pretty important work there. As if God was making a request to you through us. So we make our request to you in the name of Christ to be at peace with God, to be reconciled to him, to have no division, no separation, no sin holding us back. John chapter 20 and verse 21, Jesus says this. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So who's responsible? Whose responsibility is it? So to share that message that we heard so many great messages about this past week, whose responsibility is it to make sure that your neighbor, that your coworker, that maybe a lost family member, that someone gets an opportunity to hear that? It is our responsibility. It's my responsibility. It's your responsibility that we all need to step up and be an ambassador for Christ. But remember the parameters in which we are to speak. We have no more authority than what he has given us. We are to say what Jesus would say. Even as Jesus came and said, I'm only saying what the Father told me to say. We are to only speak what Jesus has told us to say. And so we're going to take this verse and we're going to look at it. And the first part of it is that of speaking for the king, and this idea of being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We've seen the WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, how about WWJS, what would Jesus say? That's what we are to say. And you know, Jesus' words were not always popular, but they were the word of his Father. And we need not to change anything. We need not to worry that people won't like us because of it. But what we need to do is just simply preach unto them Jesus, speaking for the king, to present the message that he is sharing. No more, no less, just the words of Jesus. 1930. Does anyone remember that day? No? Some? No? 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 All right. 1930. King George the V is king. He's getting ready to present a message to the naval conference that is held in London that year. Radio. I know we find this hard to believe. They were actually, I heard a discussion the other day on the radio that outside of the radio in your car, most people do not have radios in their homes anymore because they catch it on their cell phone or some other way, except for one of the radio disc jockeys counted up, and he had 9 radios in his house. But maybe that's because of the job. I don't know. But anyway, so 1930, King George the V is getting ready to give a message, and this is in the infancy of the radio. So didn't have everything worked out, didn't have everything working as it should. They were getting ready to go live, and one of the engineers, a young man by the name of Walter Vivian, working for the Columbia Broadcast Company at that time, noticed that one of the lines to the radio system had been broke, been severed. With no time to repair as needed and necessary, he knew what could happen or what it would take to allow for the transmitter and the radio communications devices to work properly. And so what that meant was for him to grab one end of the severed wire, grab the other end of the severed wire, and for the 15-minute speech that King George the V gave, 250 volts, which again, it's not so much the volts as it is the amps that'll get you, right? But anyway, the 250 volts, still nothing to wink at. If you look at this, people have died over much less. He holds that line for 15 minutes while King George the V completes his message. Now, before you start looking and you go to think, oh, the King's Speech, was that? Remember the old Colin Firth movie from 2010 or whatever? That is the King's Speech. That was the king that stuttered. That was King George the VI, this man's son. So not the same. I wanted to make sure I clarified that in case people asked. Not the King's Speech. This was a different one. All right? So now as we look at that, the message for 15 minutes was held together because somebody was willing to make a risk, to take a chance, to make it happen. And so, 2 Timothy 1:7 says that we as Christians, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of discipline. Do we as Christians share the power that has been given to us to transmit not King George's message, but King Jesus's message? And so as we see that, isn't it wonderful that we have that opportunity That isn't it great that the message can be transmitted? And even if the signal seems broke, that we have that opportunity to pick it up. We live in a world where the signal is being messed up in its transmission, at least, if not being severed altogether. And yet we have that opportunity to make it happen, to bring it together into one. We live in a world, and where the heart of the world is aching fiercely, in the night of this world, longing for God alone to cure them, to heal them, that He is the only one that can transmit the message of light and of life. And yet He's given that responsibility to us. Don't ever say, I am just a Christian. I hear people all the time, well, I'm not an elder or a deacon, or I'm not a preacher. Don't be ashamed of being a Christian. Too many times, well, I'm just a Christian. You have as much responsibility as anyone else in the proclamation of the word of Jesus Christ. I have to make an apology as we get to the next slide, because the last sentence are my words, not the Bible's words. So when you see that, take that into consideration. But our next slide, when we talk about speaking for the king in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 5 and 6. The last line is just me and my thoughts, so you can kick that to the curb, but the rest of it is from the Bible. It says, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. So just because you might be thinking that you're all that and the proverbial bag of chips, you're not. Right? It's all because of Jesus. It's all because of God, who also made us adequate as servants of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit of the law. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And then my words are, we're never enough on our own, but in the will of God, we can become more than enough. And so even as Moses said, I can't speak. God will provide. Do you notice that He said, I'll give your brother Aaron to you as a mouthpiece? And then you couldn't shut Moses up the rest of his life. Right? So it was just like, I'm not going to let my brother talk. I'll do this. But we have the opportunity to speak for the king. The saving message can be transmitted through us. And that may mean there's some pain involved. But you know what? God has left the responsibility, Christ has left that responsibility to us. Second portion of this verse then is begging on behalf of Christ. Begging on behalf of Christ. And so as we see this, some people say, and I've had this discussion, and you can believe what you need to believe and that, but I've had some people say that if you have to, you know, ask somebody, if you have to really go and talk to them, and try to convince them to become a Christian, that really all they should do is just read it in God's Word, and they should be able to they should be convicted enough to become a Christian. I'm going to say I disagree with that. Because Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, gives examples of people. And remember, this isn't just of these, Jeremiah isn't just saying this, this is the words being penned down by the Holy Spirit. For example, Jeremiah 38:20 says, but Jeremiah said, please obey. Right? Please obey the Lord in what I am saying to you. If you're here this morning, you're outside of Jesus Christ, I am saying to you, please. Please obey. Please obey what the Lord is saying to you, that it may go well with you and that you may live. But not only in the Old Testament, but we see it in the New Testament as well. Jesus tells us in his parables and in the different stories that he shares as he's talking to the people in Luke chapter 14, verse 23. And the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the edges. So first of all, he tells him to go out. Why is that? Because, and I'm not trying to be mean or crass here or show any anger at all, but you know, if you sit here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and you have not obeyed the gospel, eventually it's just your fault. Because the message been, and so that's why the master tells them, let's go out. If they're not going to listen to it here, then let's go out and present it to them. And so as we remember anyway, Scripture really tells us that the church services are for the Christians. Because in 1 Corinthians 14 it says, if by chance an unbeliever happens to be in your group. So, you know, we always say, oh, come, you know, to our non-Christian friends, come to church, come to church, come to church. Well, the thing is, what you ought to do is go out and teach them. Make them disciples. Right? Teach unto them, then baptize them, and then teach them again. Continue to teach them. Anyway, that was a side note. It says, and compel them to come in. So if I was to ask you this morning to go over to the gas station and compel the people over there to come to the services over here, what would you say that meant? Do you think that is, hey, the church doors are open. Is that compelling them? What do you understand? What do you think of when you see the words compel? I almost envision grabbing them by the arm and saying, you've got to come and listen. Did that not happen when they were coming to Jesus? People, we have heard this guy talk and speak. You've got to come and listen to him. They were compelled to tell them to come in so that the house may be filled. Now, with that said, for those of you that are here this morning and are not Christians, here's what I wish I could do. Probably be frowned upon by the elders and everyone else, but here's what I wish I could do. Go grab you up by your collar, have this baptistry filled, and dunk you in there, and help you do what you should have already done. But all I'd be doing is putting you in a dry center and pulling you up a wet one. However, I can encourage you. And I will be more than happy to do so this morning to beg. I'll even get down on my knees here in front of anyone who thinks they need it. I will beg you to obey Jesus Christ today. And if you think I'm wrong for doing that, then we can have a discussion. I am pleading with you. I am pleading with those that are outside of Jesus Christ. I am urgently asking you, I am urgently sharing with you the message that can save your life and your soul. I am saying to you, as Jeremiah did, please, please obey so that your life will go well. And we're not preaching a health and wealth gospel here, but so that your eternal life will go well. I am not too proud to beg or to plead or to urge you or to compel you, but it has to be your decision. It needs to be your decision. It must be your decision. Because as much as I would love to make that happen for you today, I can't. I can present the message. I can present it in its purest form that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left the glory and the splendor of heaven for you to come to this earth, to live a perfect life, so that we could be with him one day, so that we would have the opportunity to believe in him, not just as a good man, but as the Son of God. That we would have the opportunity to repent of our sins, that we'd have the opportunity to confess him as Lord and Savior, that we'd have the opportunity to be buried with him in baptism, arise to walk in the newness of life, so that you would live faithfully for him and you would be on the side now that is an ambassador for Jesus Christ, that you are speaking for him, that we are giving no terms but the terms that he has given and the promises that he wants you to receive. To God be the glory. Amen. So I beg you this morning, on behalf of Jesus Christ, be reconciled to God through his Son Jesus, who makes it possible. If you're here this morning, you're outside of Jesus Christ. If you can think of something else you need me to say that's within the boundaries of the Word of God, I'd be happy to say it. But I beg with you, I plead with you, I urgently welcome you to come to Jesus now, before it's eternally too late. Will you stand with us as they lead us in our song of invitation?